The song that we were singing, the song that we were singing, I was thinking of, it's rising up all around, and churches today are big on this kingdom movement, and hey, it must be right because we're growing, we're having to build a new church, and I mean, you hear that all across where we live today. I hear it from so many other people that come in through the week that either preach or either go to another church and talk about it, and it's rising up all around, it's the anthem, you know. In all fairness, the second line's perfect. Our anthem, what we stand for, our billboard, who we are, should be clear that it's Paul's message for us. But I can tell you, it's not rising all around. It's not, you know, it's not the popular vote. The question is it right? And the issue is it right when you rightly divide. It can't be wrong if you rightly divide. It can't be wrong. But if you don't rightly divide, it can be wrong. And I had a couple of questions thrown at me this week that I'm going to touch on different things. I may be a little bit scattered this morning, but I just think when somebody asks a question, it's good to, if you can answer it, to answer it. One thing we've got to remember is a word we don't see a lot. I think I'm going to spell it right. How am I doing? Pretty good?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure about Revelation, but I ain't. Revelation. Progressive revelation is such a big word. It's not a word in the Bible. You don't see it. It's not issues. You don't hear about it. Of course, the word revelation we know is, and we know what progressive means. If you take math, after math, you take math 2. After math 2, you'll take like basics of algebra, and then you'll take basics of geometry. All those things are progressiveness on learning, all the way up to you get to calculus or even to get into chemistry, you have to know the basics of math, right? There is progression. A lot of people talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you think Paul was talking about, when he said rightly dividing the word of truth, do you think he was talking about things in the Old Testament? He honestly was talking about his letters and rightly dividing his letters too. A lot of times we get this idea that we just, in times past, button down things to come, and we don't realize when Paul is writing these letters, he's writing to who? To the body. He is not writing those things to the flock. He's writing to the body, those that are saved through the grace, through the gospel of grace. He's talking about, he didn't get everything at one time. He went away for 3 years to Arabia. It talks about in Galatians. The cool thing about that is if you study where he went and you can follow it right, do you know where he went? He went to the same mountain, more than likely, that Moses went to get the law. So it's kind of interesting to know. I would like to know how that plays in part in the future or how important that area is. I think that'd be kind of cool to know, but it's not what I'm talking about this morning. The thing is as we study our word, there, we've got to know that there is progressive revelation. There are things that God shows man in times past, and they grow from it. And he shows man other things, and they grow from it. And he shows man other things, and they grow from it. In the same manner, when Paul received the message, the mystery of the revelation, he received it in parts. You'll see as you go through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, he didn't have it all. But in his prison epistles, it was complete, right? There was no more progressive. But as we learn and study the Scriptures, if you study the Scriptures, you will see with yourself things that are revealed to you that you learn. Have you ever started studying your Word and you think, that makes sense now why they did this, or wow, I can understand this. It's because you're in your Word more and more and more, and you gain more understanding and more understanding if you rightly divide. There are many times when I did not consider progressive revelations in my life. I would go back and forth from Scripture to Scripture, and whatever it read, that's how I acted it out. Needless to say, if I ever thought about what I believed, I would probably, I'd probably, where they just don't fit. Well, I say one thing one time. Yeah, I would probably contradict myself over and over and over again in my life. You know, you have to understand the Word a piece at a time. You can't just get it all. And so as we study these things, it does no good if you just do it here. But just remember, as we read, if you feel like, I'm just not getting it all, there is a progression in your learning, just as there was progression in Paul's learning. And progressive revelation is an issue that we've got to understand, that it is just the way life is as you read your Word. Now, as you read it and continue to read it, it's amazing how much more confidence you gain in how you know things are right by using the Word. So when Paul says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the Word, it's the issue of progressive revelation. Even in his letters, things changed. He talks about in many of his letters, baptizing, touching, spiritual gifts, edification through speaking in tongues. But you'll never see that in his prison ministry, as in a prison ministry, but as in his epistles while he was in prison, because he had received all the revelation. Does that make sense? And so those things that were in part are now, he sees things in full. Right? I can't remember where that scripture's at, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 13. Turn real quick there. We know that at one time as the love chapter. I don't think that's what I was looking for, though.
Verse 10 is one you're looking for.
To another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all... I'm in chapter 12.
Yeah, 13. 1 Corinthians 13.
Thank you. I tell you what, go back though. This is perfect for where I was going to go. I found it on accident. It was no... I didn't have any movement. I didn't have anything... You know, anything like that went on, okay? Shut the door like there's a lot of disturbance out there. It's kind of funny. They're Mark and them are being way too loud back there. Anyway, go to chapter 12 and look what Paul says in verse... tell you what, go to verse 4. In chapter 12, and then we'll go to 13. We'll just stay here for a little bit. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The issue is, the very same Spirit that came upon man in times past, okay, was in man at this time, and I believe he also came upon men at this time, because they gave them manifestations of gifts that they could do. Well, why? Because the Word wasn't complete. And they had to receive things by the dispensation that was given to Paul to give to man to edify the church, to show what's right and wrong. They didn't have what we have this morning. Okay? But it goes on, it says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So they have the same Spirit, they have the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So these things can you defend when people say, well, look what Paul did. You say that they don't go on today, but Paul did it. There's no way you can defend it if you don't understand progressive revelation. There's two things here. The one thing was for the church to be edified because it was new. It was something that was a mystery that had never been told, and the Word wasn't complete. Right? And so we've got to understand there were things that had to happen. In Romans chapter 15, it talks about these things. And chapter 16, about what men could do. Okay? About those gifts. Why? The Word wasn't complete. It had not been established. But Paul was given this mystery that was new to everybody, and things were still going on. Number one, if Paul could not do the very things that the others did, would they have believed that Paul was called to be an apostle? Would he have ever been able to reach out to those Jews who were not part of the flock that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah? Romans 1:16 talks about to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Now, point number two in this, okay? This made these guys mad. Understand, the Word, their God was their God, and they were told not to go to Gentiles. How do you think it made those Jews feel when the Gentiles started receiving these gifts that they had never received before? Think about it. If you read on in this book, man, they get ticked about it. But it was to what? To bring them to what? Why did Israel fall? So that we could be saved. And what did it bring Israel that Paul talks about? To bring them to jealousy. Okay? I always wondered what that meant. Why would God do that just to make somebody jealous? Well, because they understood that these people had the same gifts that those other apostles had. This must have been the Messiah. Tell you what, hold your place here and go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going nowhere where I plan on going today. I'm not even going to answer the question. That ticks me off. It's y'all's fault. Chapter 8. Chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 11. Now, this is where Paul, in 8, 9, and 10, those three chapters in Romans, this is where I was going to go today, but I'm never getting there. In those three chapters, if you study Romans through progressive revelation, if you study it and you rightly divide it, 8, 9, and 10 is all those of Israel that had fallen. And look what he says in 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. Do you think Paul wanted those that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah to go to hell? Absolutely not. He knew they could not be saved by Peter and the other 11. Right? There was no more added to that flock. That's why Peter talks about in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, about how they better listen to Paul's message. Okay? And here he says, God forbid. He wanted them saved first. That's why Paul went to who first? To the Jew first, and then to the Greek. Three times in Acts, Paul mentions that, look, I've said it, I'm going to the Gentiles. Right? But he always went to the temple first. And he says in verse 11:11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy. Now, this is what's awesome when you start understanding the Word. Or it was to me when I started understanding these things happened in time. Okay? To notice and to recognize these Jews, okay, that were not part of the flock, were ticked when these others started receiving these gifts. And it provoked them to jealousy to where some were saved by Paul's message. And that was his heart. He was hurt and burdened, if you read chapter 8, how he wanted these that were of his kind to receive his message. Okay? But anyway, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now. I think we'll get through my list today. Okay, chapter 12. Now let's read again verse 4 and let's go through. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Paul's not saying I've got a different God. Just like Paul says that, you know, some of you named Jesus, but you're not preaching the Jesus that I knew, because Paul knew the Jesus that had been arose from the grave, that had been resurrected. They knew the Jesus that they crucified.
Okay? And they were waiting for him to come back. But in verse 4 he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be, look what he says, Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Do you think Paul's talking about that flock that was saved by dying in their faith? He's talking about those Jews now that are considered uncircumcised. That flock considered those Jews not a bit a part of them. You had two different Israels here. The unbelieving Israel and the believing Israel, and Paul wanted them all to receive this message. I'm not going to keep going there. Let's go to chapter 13 and flip over for the sake of time. Now notice. Now we saw where Paul talked about chapter 12 about healings, about things that went on. But what was Paul told in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he shares the message? My grace is sufficient for you. Something had to progress. Something, you have to rightly divide that. Right? What about when Timothy was sick? What did God tell him to do for Paul? What did God tell Paul to do? Give him a little wine. There is a progression as you read the Word. That's why you have to rightly divide the Word. If it doesn't make sense or if it seems contradictory, you're probably not rightly dividing it. But you can find it perfectly every time. Chapter 13. Look what Paul says. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So these gifts that he talked about in chapter 12 will disappear. They're going to go away somewhere, or this is a lie. Right? Now, in verse 9, for we know in part, and we, you notice he says we, and we prophesy in part. They only could prophesy and say and edify the church by what they knew, by what was dispensated to them, if that's a word. Verse 10, is that a word, Joe? Dispensated? She'll correct me every time. Say, I made it. Okay. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, when Paul says we are complete in Christ, that which is in part is done away. Because that which was perfect is come. And what's perfect? The Word. If it's not perfect, we're wasting a lot of time. We could beat everybody to the restaurants right now. I mean, let's face it. If it's not perfect, we're missing it. Right? And those things are important for us to see. As you read your Bible, you can become very confused if you don't rightly divide. My hope in that is over the last few weeks we've talked about this is what Judaism was. This is what Christianity was. So we can defend those things. Let me tell you something. If all you're taking in is right here, you are missing it and you'll never be able to defend it. Stone, Will, you guys that are young, I mean, if you guys could jump on this early, you will be so far ahead of most people your age. And I see the fact that you can follow back to Steve's church because for how long? You know, you think some of those kids that are 16 and 17 and 18, you see them, they learn these things because they were brought up as a child learning them. Kind of irritated that I have to catch up. Okay, some of you guys don't have to catch up. You just don't need to be lazy. And that's an issue if you're going to finish the game. Great. My question is to those that are younger than me. What do you do when we that are older are gone? You go back to a faith that's not real? To a faith that's perverted? To faith because it's more crowded? Because it's more fun? Because it's easier? I'm telling you, it'll bear in your mind the rest of your life. So those things are important. That you understand the word rightly divided so you can defend it. So you don't become ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because to not be able to defend it and to be in here 4 or 5 years, 6 or 7 years, or wherever we're at, would that not be able to be ashamed? Because it's our own fault. So those are things, and that's why we do these things this way. Real quick, just an example. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 11. Paul is writing this letter. And in chapter 1, verse 11, this is an example. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." Okay? Just an example of progressive revelation. If you read on chapter 1 and continue to read, you'll see chapter 1 is before Israel. He talks about how man was, how God gave him over to Rebbe. I used to read this and I used to pertain it to today. You know. But this is before the law. If you read Romans, it's progressive revelation all the way through it. You go to chapter 2. If you look at chapter 2, it says right off the end, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man." A lot of people think he's speaking to a man, evidently, that has made a comment about him to clarify some things. Chapter 2, you see Israel becoming unfolded. Chapter 3, he talks about how we're all guilty. How there's justification, okay? One of my favorite verses is chapter 3, verse 25. "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past." Who'd that deal with? The Jews, right? "Through the forbearance of God." Verse 26. "To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." That covers everything, right? If you continue to go on, you get all the way to chapter 4, 5, 6, going justification, propitiation, salvation. Verse 8, 9, and 10, he goes back to Israel and who they were and what happened. And because they failed, what we get. And then about what they get because they see us receiving it. Okay? But if you go all the way to the end of chapter, if you go to chapter 15, I'm just trying to give you some examples of things that progress. So you can't just pick up the word and read a middle of a letter like you're going to get it all. You have to study the letter. Chapter 15, verse 8. "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises that were made unto the fathers." Who were the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those forefathers who God gave the promise to and the covenant to. Jesus came to fulfill that and to make sure that He could prove who He was. Well, they killed Him. Look what Paul says in verse 16. "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified," that means set apart, "by the Holy Ghost." Chapter 16. Now what did we see in chapter 1, verse 11? He hoped that some spiritual gift could come along
that it would what? Establish this ministry that he was given.
Well, look at chapter 16 and notice verse 25. He got it towards the end of the letter. Now, who's saying these things? Paul's penning them. God is speaking these for Paul to pen, right? Now, to him that is of the power to what? To establish you. According to my gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. That means before Israel. That means during the promises to the fathers. That means during the Old Testaments, during the prophecies, during the teachings, during the miracles, during all those things that were given to Israel. There was a secret the whole time they never knew about. Okay? The whole time. It says, which was kept secret since the world began, verse 26. But now. Okay? Was my gospel, revelation, kept secret, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. You can't just say, Old Testament, we can't just sit here and take the first message in math and say, well, I got it now. This ain't us, and this ain't us. That's not good enough. You cannot defend that that is true unless you know the Scriptures. Right? That's why it says all Scriptures is profitable. You have to rightly divide from the beginning all the way through, especially Paul's letters. You'll contradict that thing over and over again. Those things in 1 Corinthians and most of 2 Corinthians don't compare to those things in Colossians, in Ephesians, in Philippians. You'll get a totally different story because it was complete. And so this book is progressive revelation. How many times have you heard another pastor in your life, okay, before grace, teach that it wasn't all complete yet in certain areas? Nobody ever taught me till I'm 35 years old. I never saw it. But now you can't get it out of my head. I can't get away from it. Every time I read it, I dispensate the book. Every time I read it, I try to say, okay, this is to who? That just reminds me of Kay Arthur. Smart lady. Wow. Smart. I don't care how smart she is. If she doesn't divide those things to Israel, to those things to us today, she's still wrong. Probably knows more Scripture than I do. She's wrong. Yeah. Think of all the people that are so smart that know the Scripture. Who else do you think knows the Scripture? Absolutely. Satan knows the Scripture. He can make man feel powerful, look powerful, become popular, stand behind a pulpit, and with all sincerity and think he's really doing well, he is sending a message that will send people straight to hell. And that's their anthem. And it's rising up all around. And it seems so much fun and so cool and so right. That's why what Hank said this morning, probably there's as many that are saved that are out of church that are saved that are in church. You know. Look, I had a few send me text messages this past week asking me questions. Super smart questions that I had to study. But the bottom line is because they're not rightly dividing or they're not reading at all or they're lazy. They have no anthem. All they do is, you know, I believe some came here at the very beginning because they thought it was really cool. And it was. It was exciting. It was fun. It was crazy almost. It's like, wow. What? You know, those things are few and far gone. It's the issue of you personally
being part of the body and doing what's right. Not being an anthem of something that's rising all around. Because what's rising all around is a lot of young people are going to Sunday school and they're being taught cute little messages and they're wrong. So that's why we rightly divide. That's why I make a big deal about it. It's a big, big deal. It's a huge deal. Amen? Hey, we count on our salvation by the basis of progressive revelation. Things that have been revealed to us that now I know what Christ did and I ain't got to worry about what I did. That's the whole basis. If people say that's not important, then your salvation's not important either. Right?